gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, best sign in Wisconsin over the weekend. Don't forget to set your clock back 50 years. All right. What a weekend. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can see us on Ustream.tv/StephanieMiller. Yeah, Rebecca was saying she's a little depressed. Me too.
Yeah.
I was reading a piece in the LA Times on Wired World, Sees the Horror as It Happens.
Yep.
And that is the difference, isn't it? It's not even like the aftermath anymore. You're seeing it in real time.
Yeah.
And for a country used to reality TV, it's just horrifying.
And every day I wake up, there's a different reactor that's...
I have to say, because in L.A., of course, it's always all about us.
Yeah.
So I was at a dinner party Saturday night. It was mostly, should we pack, and is the nuclear fallout going to hit here, and, you know.
Well, don't forget, we also have San Onofre Nuclear Power Plant just down
and
the five from us.
And prone to earthquakes.
Yeah. And that is built on an earthquake fault right on the ocean. So...
Yeah.
You got the tsunami and the earthquake there.
I have a man in my bed, which we'll talk about later.
Huh?
That's not important now.
That's very important.
David Bender.
Oh.
Sorry, not one of my beds. A Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort. it's so Sunset Boulevard. What's happening at my house right now? We're working on a writing thing, and he came for the dead monkey funeral, and it's a whole thing. But we were talking, we were watching this stuff together over the weekend, and just first of all, the horrible irony: the only country that's had nukes dropped on them. We're going, oh my god, this is, you know, they could literally be doing it to themselves, obviously inadvertently.
Yeah.
And Deepak Chopra made this point we were talking about all weekend that. He was saying, you know, just with the reality of television today and how interconnected the whole world is, he said, can you imagine if Americans had been able to watch Hiroshima and Nagasaki live, how people would feel about stockpiling nuclear weapons around the world? I mean, it's just horrifying. So anyway, thoughts and prayers with so many people around the world and in Japan this morning. So anyway, we have this news breaking left and right, all sorts of things happening this weekend, obviously in Japan, in Wisconsin. And Eric Bollard joins us now to talk about
Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
You know, I thought it was interesting. The one, I'm sure you noticed this in the media universe, Fox News, the only news organization, they pulled Glenn Beck's show.
Yeah.
In favor of...
wasn't even there.
Yes, in favor of Japan coverage, but that's the only network that did that. So I don't know if that's a tacit admission. He's the only one not actually doing journalism.
And his sit-in couldn't even stand in. Judge Napolitano couldn't even do it. So there are certain segments on that schedule that they just can't really trust to do breaking news or anything kind of sane.
Right, but I mean, pointed out that CNN and MSNBC, you know, obviously, and MSNBC clearly has, you know.
They're able to juggle,
right?
You know, they can tear up their normal show and they can, you know, adjust to breaking news. They can host. They can talk to reporters. They can do journalism.
Yeah,
that's right.
But the Glenn Beck show apparently doesn't.
And I got to give props to where it's due. I think Shep Smith did a pretty good job covering it.
Fox in the past has really stumbled in terms of international stories, I thought. But I thought they did okay. I thought CNN sometimes was looping. It seemed, you know, anecdotally, seemed to be looping the same clip over and over.
Hours. Well, you know, Eric, this seems like this discussion we have every week. It becomes even more pointed in times like these. I mean, you know, you wrote obviously about this the NPR thing. I mean, you'd think there is no other story in the world if you watch Fox News, right?
Oh, right. I know.
Anyway, and you write the, you know, fine, prove it. Prove the attacks on NPR have anything to do with the journalism they produce. So far, it's crickets, you write. Media Matters has detailed the very generous, fair, and professional coverage NPR has extended the Tea Party movement. Coverage even Tea Party leaders think it has been fair. You know, and now because of this ridiculous James O'Keefe once again, right?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, there's this sort of frenzy, get NPR, defund NPR, you know, let's use these videos. But, you know, conservatives who are going after NPR forgot to come up with any coherent argument for why, other than these videos. They cannot, I mean, it's been a week, they can't point to any substantive policy critiques they have. They can't point. I mean, NPR last year bent over backwards. I mean, they did a whole week on the Tea Party movement,
yeah.
Interviewed the leaders, went to the rallies. This stuff was even-handed beyond definition. I mean, they were, you could tell they were trying so hard to be nice to conservatives because, you know, this is what journalists do when they're accused of being liberal. Well, how do we prove it? We be extra nice to the Bush administration. We don't ask any questions when we invade Iraq. And we treat the Tea Party movement like it's, you know, the most important story in American politics, and that's what NPR did last year. So the point is, you know, there's this frothing at the mouth to fund NPR. They're liberal. Oh, by the way, we can't actually point to anything they've done wrong. So it's a rather gaping hole in their argument.
Well, and, you know, the fact that they keep referring to O'Keefe as an investigative journalist, I mean, you know, first of all, why don't you, for people that don't remember, why don't you just, you know, a brief background. First of all, he tried to sneak into Senator Landrieu's
right.
office under you know.
Yeah, you know, he was arrested for entering a federal building under false pretenses.
Right.
He was caught trying to lure a CNN reporter onto some sort of sex boat last summer.
Yeah,
he was
yeah.
going to videotape her. Of course, he did the Acorn videos, but had to later admit the idea that he was dressed up as a pimp when he went into the offices was a total hoax. And you know, basically all of his stuff, he can't really do it straight. So he's got to rely on dishonest editing and things like that.
Eric,
and now we're hearing the same accusation here that the
I just
NPR
wanted.
Tape.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you what you've heard. I'm just reading this headline now. Unlikely source raises doubts about his NPR sting. What have you heard?
Well, it's the unlikely source is Glenn Beck's website, The Blaze.
The Blaze, yeah.
Yes.
And they've and I had everyone scratching their heads why they would essentially declare war on James O'Keefe. It's an interesting intramural right-wing question. But they have done, I think, the best side-by-side comparison looking at the raw footage of these undercover videos and then comparing it to what James O'Keefe released as the gotcha tapes. And the most damning is this quote that got looped over and over where Ron Schiller is supposedly referring to Tea Party as racist and things like that. What he's obviously doing when you look at the raw footage, he's relaying a conversation he's had with Republicans. These are what Republicans think of some of these Tea Party members,
right.
that they're racist, Islamophobic, homophobic. O'Keefe clipped it and left out, here's what Republicans are saying, and put the words in the mouth of Schiller. This is just classic
wow.
dishonest editing.
Well, this is what I'm reading. There's a rather glaring technical glitch in one section of the tape where the video froze for more than 30 seconds, and the spoken phrase NPR is looped nonstop, making it impossible to hear
right.
what the people were actually saying.
Yeah, and so that we, you know, Media Matters pointed that out immediately when it came out. And as Media Matters pointed out, last week with a headline basically saying, why would anyone believe James O'Keefe in his video? Again, the dishonest editing is a hallmark.
Well, it's what happened to Shirley Sherrod, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it happened with the Acorn videos, and apparently it's happening again. Now, it's interesting. Again, this is Glenn Beck's website who pointed out these glaring discrepancies. So far, it's been crickets. Nobody is responding in the right-wing media is responding to this. Tucker Carlson's Daily Caller essentially co-sponsored the smear attack. They haven't written one word about these allegations. Andrew Breitbart's sites, I'm sure, have written over a dozen cheerleading items about O'Keefe's smear attack. They haven't written a single thing. So I don't know. I guess Glenn Beck, to them, doesn't exist. And
yeah.
he doesn't have to be acknowledged. It's this very sort of fascinating, I said, sort of intramural squabble.
Interesting.
But they're going to have to answer these questions eventually because the evidence is quite damning.
And then, meanwhile, you point out stories like that are not good for them, like Wisconsin, where you have more than 100,000 people
right.
protesting Governor Walker. And, you know, the Wall Street Journal, first of all, just flat out got it wrong at one point, right? You write they had reported that the Democrats would soon end the game of political chicken and come back. And then,
yeah, that was embarrassing. They put a week ago today, they put this big A1 front page scoop, Democrats to end standoff, and that said they were going to end this game of chicken. Democrats are coming back. There is not a single quote in the article to confirm that. And, of course, we all know now it was Republicans who ended the
right.
standoff by voting by by voting through the bill. So, Rupert Murdoch's Wall Street Journal, covering one of the biggest stories of the year so far, managed to get it exactly wrong.
Yeah. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what else is wrong. Hannity and, he had Peter King on.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Representative Peter King.
Joining me now with reaction is the man behind today's hearing, New York Congressman Pete King. All right. You talked in the lead-up to this about the mindless hysteria leading into the hearings. You just heard some of the criticism. You've been listening to it all day. And I wanted to give you a chance to respond. From everything that I've been reading, you're not going after the Muslim community. We lost 3,000 Americans on 9/11. What are these hearings about?
Sean, this is about the radicalization of the Muslim American community by Al-Qaeda.
No. Why would anyone get the impression you're just going after the Muslim community? That's craziness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole point was American Muslims aren't doing enough. There aren't enough good Muslims in America. They're not whistleblowing all, the radicals. And, of course, it's interesting that Pete King in the 1980s, enthusiastically embraced a terrorist group, the IRA, when they were blowing up pubs and killing civilians. Back then, Pete King couldn't, IRA was A-OK,
By the way,
when you fast forward, it's not OK.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of pubs, don't you love that apparently the right wing is fine with John Boehner breaking into tears every time a tavern or a pub is mentioned, but they mocked Keith Ellison. Did you see this through the right wing blogosphere? Just disgusting.
It was disgusting. In particular, the National Review, they claimed that Ellison got the whole story wrong and called him a bigot for telling the tale that he did, and of course it was the National Review that got the story completely wrong.
Of course. I mean, it's easily findable, all the references of this young man being smeared, after 9/11.
And it was interesting, the National Review didn't say Ellison got it wrong. They called him a bigot for telling this story.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, they can't even control their hatred for Muslims at this point.
Yep. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue with Right Wing World as Eric Bullard remains in the sidecar on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 22 minutes after the hour. Jackie in Fairfax has family in Japan. Hey, Jackie.
Oh, hi, Stephanie.
Hey, have you heard from them?
Yes. I email them, and then they email me back. There's a damage to the house, crack on the wall and things like that. And all the train and subway stopped, so everybody had to walk home. Some of them took hours and hours to get home.
Yeah. But, I know. We were watching those pictures this weekend. A lot of us are going, where are they going?
Yeah.
Where are they pictures of people walking? You're like, what the hell do you do after something like this?
Yeah, but my mom said everybody was so calm and nobody was complaining, like nothing happened.
I know. I was reading a story about how absolutely this is the way the Japanese people are, that they are just literally, there was a story of an old lady that something fell on her and crushed her ankle, and she apologized to paramedics and, wondered if there was somebody, more critically that needed help than she did.
Yeah, because I think it's partially it's culture.
Cultural,
To whine and complaining is something to be embarrassed about.
Yeah.
So that's, and then also they were prepared. Everybody knows, like in Japan, everybody knows where to go when you need to evacuate.
Yeah.
Because you're assigned which school to go to, so you can meet your family, even they were somewhere different.
Yeah.
They all end up being in the same place. And also, since we were children, we were trained to how to evacuate,
how to
put out the fire.
I don't know how you prepare for an 8.9, though. That is really something.
Yeah.
Please send our thoughts and prayers out.
And then also, people in California, please prepare, because you need to put like a child lock on a glass cabinet. That makes a big difference.
Yep. Jackie, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Ay vey.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we whine really easily in California. We're So, dear God, yeah, there's so much, so many issues. We'll get to all of this this morning. Eric Bollert rejoins us to finish up Right Wing World. This guy in for, what's his name? Pags.
Joe Pags.
Pags. Yeah. In for Glenn Beck, Eric.
What's happening in Wisconsin is the right thing politically.
Uh-huh, yes.
It's the right thing morally. It's the right thing for the people of Wisconsin going forward. It's the right thing for the taxpayers of Wisconsin. I've never understood why people who are getting paid by the public, getting paid by taxpayers, why they thought they had the ability or the right to collectively bargain.
They are taxpayers, you moron. Don't you love this, Eric?
The idea that collective bargaining is somehow some sort of strange, you know, foreign concept to the American workplace. Where does this idea come from that's been in place for six or seven decades now? Where did they sneak that one in? But yeah, I mean, you know, he says it's the right thing to do politically, et cetera. You know, conservatives and Republicans basically cannot point to a single poll that shows any sort of support in Wisconsin
and you know what?
Or across the country for what Walker did.
Talking to David Bender this weekend, you know, who is obviously a political strategist and expert, and, you know, there's this Supreme Court battle coming up in like 2 weeks, and this could switch this whole thing around. It really could. It could switch the balance on that court, and they'll decide the legality of this maneuver that they tried. So, you know, boy, stay tuned. Like to wipe some of those smirks off their faces, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
All right. Liz Trotta on the Fox News.
Her again.
James O'Keefe.
Well, he's not a journalist, of course. He's the conservative activist. But that does not in any way change what he did. He's a spunky kid, and he, like so many journalists have done in their careers, pretended to be somebody he wasn't. The thing that really got me, Eric, in this whole thing is their frame of mind, their character, and this is NPR people, and this is where they reveal their arrogance and their superciliousness. And their disingenuousness as well. NPR has been found out, and they want government money so they can further their prejudices against the Republicans, against anybody who isn't a leftist.
Mm, I don't know about you, Eric. I hate spunk.
just like Lou Grant.
Yeah. Yes.
basically, everything she got said there was wrong. You know, it didn't reveal his character because, as we said, the clip that got looped in loop, he's referencing what Republicans have told him about conservatives and Tea Party people being small-minded, et cetera. And journalists don't just go around pretending to be people they're not. What they do when they've done it in the past is they've done it for the public good. They've done it to uncover true corruption. You know, there was a famous ABC Food Lion grocery chain claim.
I remember that.
And they were trying to find out if this, you know, this grocery chain was selling tainted meat. I mean, you do it to uncover powerful people who are doing possible harm to the public. You don't do it in sort of the name of trying to catch people saying nasty things about conservatives. That's not journalism. That's political gotcha.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. All right, Steve Hayes on the Brit Bear.
As goes Wisconsin, so goes the nation. Mm-hmm. We can only hope. I mean, this is this is one time where somebody came in, he said he was going to do something, he made tough decisions, they were not popular, the unions dragged this out, the Democrats dragged this out, I think, to take a ding on Scott Walker, and, by the way, to sneak in some union contracts in the time that it took negotiating, and Walker still prevailed. Now we'll see if he can rebuild his popularity going forward by doing the things he said he was going to do in the campaign. I think he will.
Rebuild? When was he popular?
Yeah, that's what, you know, apparently Steve Hayes is a very good liar. I mean, PolitiFact looked at this. Walker aides could not point to a single time in the fall campaign when Scott Walker ran on ending collective bargaining. So it's just a complete lie to say, oh, he's doing exactly what he ran on. He's doing the opposite. He didn't have the nerve to run on union bashing. He waited until the ballots were counted and then announced, oh, by the way, I'm going to do this.
Yep. One real quick before you go, Rush Limbaugh.
Obamacare, everybody on our side agrees, got to go. Mm-hmm. It has got to be repealed.
Yes.
Or the country as we know it is over.
Oh.
It's got to go.
Huh. Well, I guess there's
don't really have a choice at that point.
Nothing more to see here. All right, Eric Bollert, see you next week.
Talk to you.
Thanks so much. There he goes.
Yeah.
Ruth Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I wouldn't want no policeman to catch me without no petticoat.
No policeman? How about a nice fireman?
Not without my petticoat. Goodness, 34 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. Oh, well, looky here. I love this story over the weekend. So, you know, there's obviously the whole new energy behind the recall efforts
right.
for the Republicans. And, well, Walker, we'll get to him later. Anyway, but in 2 weeks, as I mentioned, David Bender was talking about this Supreme Court thing. It's and that this could change the whole balance.
Yeah.
So that this whole thing gets ruled illegal. So anyway, but this from the which is one of the Wisconsin Republicans, Randy Hopper.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Is that who he does or?
Well, funny you should mention
that.
Who
he is or what he does.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Protesters outside the Hopper House this week in Fond du Lac were met
the
by
Hopper
his
House.
Wife. The Hopper House.
The Hopper House.
We're met by his wife, who reportedly came out and told him Hopper no longer lives here, but with his 25-year-old mistress in Madison.
Oh, dear.
In case you're looking for him. Maybe she'd like to recall their marriage is what's happening there.
I think she does.
Sources close to the recall effort say the Hopper maid signed the recall sheet, and the maid reportedly said it's likely soon Hopper's soon-to-be ex-wife will also sign the recall. Okay. So that's two. There. Hmm. He is a hopper, isn't he?
Yes. Hops from bed to bed,
woo!
Apparently.
A bed hopper, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Okay. All right. Hey, you know what? It's Monday, everybody.
Sleep off at the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Listen, that sultry voice can only mean one thing, and that is the Rude Pundit's got himself an online radio show.
I did.
And a podcast to boot.
What?
Well, you know, one thing sort of leads to the other.
Yeah.
If you're going to be online, you may as well pot it.
You have a new online radio show, let's see, with the lovable Jeff Chrysler, author of Get Rich Cheating.
Yes, it's called, just because we had to pull a name out of our tails,
yes.
We went with Cheater and the Rude.
Yes.
Which I like because it sounds like BJ and the
Bear.
And Turner and Hooch.
Yes.
Sure. It's over the internet, so as you write, Rude Pundit gets to say things like, saw.
And
which
I
you
did,
do.
I did repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
I got to talk about that story.
I'm not sure what that means, saw.
Well, I you know what? Google it.
All right.
And you'll
I think
be
I will.
Pleasantly surprised.
Will I be Santormed?
No. I think you may be getting out your credit card.
Oh, boy.
All right. So, you know what? Let's finish up Right Wing World with Rude, since he writes something about the lovely and talented Peter King this week. This is Giuliani on why the Pete King hearings are just fine.
I think Pete King performed a great service for this country, and I think we should all thank him.
Mm,
I wish
yes.
that hearing had been held 3 years ago. Maybe there wouldn't have been an attack like the one at Fort Hood if we had had a hearing like this.
Mm.
Reminds me of when I was pursuing the mafia as U.S. attorney. I got attacked by Italian-American groups for using the word mafia. They said to me I was using a word that was not allowed to be used by the Justice Department because it smeared all Italians. And I said, the heck with that. It doesn't smear all Italians. It smears Italians who are part of the mafia. And if you've got a problem with that, mm-hmm. you better come over on the other side.
And besides, I know other crooks that aren't Italian, like Bernard Carrick. Oops.
I just love the way it became all about Giuliani. You know?
Yeah.
Let me tell you one more time that I once did things.
Yeah.
He hasn't done much lately, though, has he?
He's just reaping the rewards of that security consulting firm that he has.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but you were talking about how, you know, in your piece this week about how we sure do pick and choose our terrorists, don't we? I mean, the fact that he not only spoke at IRA rallies, it would have ended his career if he'd been talking, you know, about America, you know, Al-Qaeda, right?
Right. No. He not only, he didn't just, speak about backing the IRA. I mean, he was wholeheartedly, full-throatedly behind the Irish Republican Army, Peter King, and to the point where he was incensed, as were many in Congress when the United States extradited this IRA member named Joe Dougherty, who had kidnapped a family and shot the highest-ranking officer to die in the ongoing battle between the IRA and the British.
Yep.
And you know, you can say what you want about the cause, but by any definition, that's terrorism.
Yep.
And so, but he was out there trying to keep Dougherty in the United States, trying to prevent his extradition, and calling out the first Bush administration for extraditing him.
Yep. Rude, you write some great stuff about the what's happening in Wisconsin and elsewhere. You say, you were talking about when elections come around and the official who runs whatever department, these friends you have, you say you have friends in low places.
Yes. I have friends that work in the South in right-to-work states, which means essentially that you don't join a union or we'll fire you.
Yep.
And because they're public employees, every election, whoever gets elected to the post that controls the department, if that is an electable position, that person can go in there and just fire whoever he or she wants to.
Right, and give her his nephew or niece a job or whatever, as you said, and there's not a, you know, thing you can do about it.
Nope, and that's why public employee unions. Can you imagine that? I mean, imagine that you're there for 20 years, you know, plugging away at sanitation or something, and then somebody, and you're a supervisor, you maybe gotten up to supervisor, and then somebody gets elected to the head of the sanitation department, or I think that some places that is an elected position, and you're canned, and there's not a thing you can do. There's no cause. There's nothing. That's right to work.
Well,
right to work means fired without cause.
And you make a good point here. You say if your answer is, well, why should public employees be special? I can be fired from my job at Amalgamated Douchebags if I don't follow my boss's political agenda, then you should... I don't know. I just like that there's a place named that. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, they're manufacturing douchebags.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But you say, you know, by the way, these friends get salaries in addition to quadrennial diarrhea. Not sure what that is. You know why they stay at these jobs? The benefits make up for it. But, hey, let's take that away, too. I mean, that's exactly right. The point I think people keep missing, Rude, is that this is their money. That this is still their salary that they deferred, basically.
Well, and whenever you're up for a job, and I know these days people aren't up for jobs that maybe have benefits packages, so maybe they've forgotten this, but when you are offered a job, they say, here's your salary, and here's what we're doing on top of that. It's part of the whole package that we're offering you for the job. So when that's just simply part of your compensation.
Right. So let's see. Skipping to you write about Democratic majorities. If Democratic majorities in state legislatures pass bills that allowed a governor to disband local governments, imagine the imbecile grunts of fascism and socialism and Zoroastrianism, which I'm not sure what that is. Or whatever the hell teabaggers are shouting about. As for what happened in Wisconsin, all you have to do is look at what happened when Democrats in the U.S. Senate used budget reconciliation to pass health care, a maneuver Republicans have used numerous times in recent years. Fox, quote-unquote, news practically sold pitchforks and torches. It's amazing how they did this, right?
Oh, it is. And first of all, I don't even, I mean, it's up for questioning whether or not it's legal. And yet still, the idea that there would be an outcry over this evening maneuver by the majority Republicans, I love that some in the right wing are just breaking out their fans like, oh no, we have to let this happen because this is the way democracy runs. And it was the Democratic 14 senators that were out of state, they were the ones that were preventing democracy from happening. And you think, no, this is what negotiation is. And sometimes you take a hard line in negotiation. And you guys should really know that, since that's what you're doing constantly on the Republican side.
Well, Rude, you write this week, Republicans have declared war on the unions backed by so much money you could bathe in it. Let's come up with a war plan to fight back. What do you think that is?
I think the recalls, I think the threat of a general strike has to be there. I think that there just needs to be this concentrated activism, as we maybe didn't get to hear about it this weekend because of the events in Japan, because of the earthquake and tsunami, that this massive 100,000 people rally that went on in Madison, that kind of concerted action needs to continue. But of course, you know, that it was almost like a tree falling in the forest. I barely heard a squeak about it on any station. Hell, MSNBC decided to not even do earthquake coverage. They went with lockdown because sodomy and toilet moonshine is more important than any other news event.
All right. In closing, you write Newt Gingrich will with his passion for America.
Yes.
And I just love the fact that you refer to him as bloated serial adulterer Newt Gingrich. Which is so true.
And it's pretty much all he's done. I love that he said that he was talking to the Christian Broadcasting Network. So, of course, if you're in an interview with the Christian Broadcasting Network, you got to come up with an excuse for all your sins. And his excuse for screwing around on his cancer-ridden first wife.
And you brought up another fact I'd forgotten, that he left his second wife when she got MS.
Yes, MS.
Forgot about that.
So the third wife had better stay pretty damn healthy. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, or maybe she's come up with a way to finally get Newt to leave. But
I wonder if he actually removed the in sickness part in the vows, or whether...
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Only and in health, which, you know...
I mean, maybe he actually made... I think it's pretty clear, frankly, that in sickness, I'm out of here. Yeah. I wonder if he actually at least
frankly,
was honest.
Oh, and then what about his health? You know, he's like a walking diabetes sack. And
rude Louise pundit.
Yes, well, I love that he says there's no question at times in my life, partially driven by how passionately I felt about this country.
Yeah, if you don't Newt Gingrich, the terrorists win.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Don't be an America hater.
That's right. You know, he keeps an American flag by the side of the bed just in case.
All right, rude pundit. Good luck with your little radio show there, son.
Well, thank you.
come on over here. Grandma will give you some learning. I bet Marconi and I came up with it together.
Oh, well, thanks.
You can actually hear the podcast of it by going to rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Yes, right. You can.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Bye.
He learned at my grandma's knee, you see.
Yes.
So to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he knows.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. All right. Oh, look at this, my little cub reporter at home, in my bed at home. David Bender is sending me news stories. Fox News ratings down 11%.
Hmm.
Oh, my goodness. According to Project for Excellence in Journalism, it's funny, even journalism is mentioned in the study. CNN lost 37%. MSNBC lost 5%. Fox News, though, down 11%.
Over what period of time?
This last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, can you imagine that? We were saying that the only show that was bumped for was Glenn Beck's show. Can you imagine what his show would have been? Oh, my God. Just a complete, like, chalkboard conspiracy about
whatever.
Something.
Earthquake machines.
Somehow has to do with the caliphate and earthquake machines and something. Yeah, it's somehow part of the Islamic caliphate, what happened in Japan, and somehow, All right. This is I have to tell you, it's hard to tell what's happening, and a lot of talk this weekend, we were watching Meet the Press, and you're trying to, like, figure out, like, are they telling us the truth about what's happening with the nuclear stuff?
Japan historically has been very tight-lipped about problems that it has with its nuclear reactors. And I'm afraid that they are being extraordinarily tight-lipped this time. I think it might be a lot worse than what they're saying.
It reminds me why Ronald Reagan wanted zero nukes. Kind of going, you know, maybe it's just not such a good idea in the face of natural disasters and such. I told you, I used to live right, like, 2 minutes from Indian Point. And you were saying that we have a nuclear power plant out here in California, which is also prone to earthquakes or tsunamis.
Right, down there near San Diego, it's built on an earthquake fault right on the ocean.
Awesome. Whose idea was that?
Yeah.
Okay. It's almost like we had a governor that was in disaster movies or something and thought that might be a good idea.
Yeah.
Japanese officials warned of a possible second explosion of the nuclear plant crippled by the earthquake and tsunami as they raced to stave off multiple reactor meltdowns. But they provided few details about whether they were making progress. More than 180,000 people have evacuated the area, and up to 160 may have been exposed to radiation.
Yep.
Yeah, we were saying, we were watching TV and we're like going, well, they don't seem like they're dissembling, but that's, of course, that's exactly the way they would seem, wouldn't it? Four nuclear plants in northeastern Japan have reported damage, but the danger Monday appeared to be the greatest at the, I can't pronounce it, Daiichi. Nuclear complex, where one explosion occurred Saturday and the second was feared. Operators have lost the ability to cool three reactors there and three more at another nearby complex using the usual procedures after the quake knocked out power and then the tsunami swamped backup generators.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just like a disaster that comes in waves. I mean, obviously it was the earthquake, literally.
So to speak.
Yeah, but I mean the earthquake and then the tsunami, and now, you know, I mean it really is... It reminds me, I don't know why that always sticks in my head, that horrible plane crash many years ago in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were people that survived the plane crash and then got eaten by an alligator
yeah.
in the Everglades. It's just like, oh. I mean, this is literally like people that survived. Can you imagine the quake and the tsunami, and now they're worried about radiation? At the risk of raising further public concern, one official said that we cannot rule out the possibility of an explosion. If there is an explosion, however, there would be no significant impact on human health.
We'll see about that.
Why do I get the feeling that may not be entirely, you know, how do you know? That's the problem. Is a lot of this, they were saying, is just, they, as our caller was saying, I mean, they are remarkably prepared because they're obviously earthquake prone. They're calm. But how do you, they've never had anything like this.
Well, unfortunately, if any nation would know about radiation sickness, it would be
Well, that's what I was
Japan.
Saying is the horrible irony that this is happening in Japan. It's unclear how far the impact of a meltdown might reach in the U.S. Local communities plan for evacuation typically within 10 miles of a nuclear plant. However, states must be ready to cope with contamination of food and water as far as 50 miles away. Radioactivity can be carried to faraway places by the winds, as it was in the 1986 Chernobyl disaster, though it will become increasingly diffuse. The reactor that exploded at Chernobyl, sending a cloud of radiation over much of Europe, was not housed in a sealed container as those at Daiichi are, the one I was speaking of.
Right.
The Japanese reactors also do not use graphite, which burned for several days at Chernobyl. So, yeah, Chuck Schumer, by the way, was asked on Meet the Press. It's the timing of people going, you know, we really ought to get more into nuclear energy. And this. Anyway, he was asked about that.
The bottom line is we do have to free ourselves of independence from foreign oil in the other half of the globe. Libya showed that. Prices are up. Our economy is being hurt by it or could be hurt by it. So I'm still willing to look at nuclear. As I've always said, it has to be done safely and carefully.
But that's the problem in the face of like of natural disasters of this magnitude. How do you prepare for that? And then it's just... All right. Japan's nuclear cabinet secretary.
It is inside the reactor. We can't see. However, we are acting, assuming that a meltdown has occurred. And with reactor number 3, we are also assuming the possibility of a meltdown as we carry out measures.
James Acton, the Carnegie, from the Carnegie Endowment for Peace.
If you're pumping seawater into a reactor, you've pretty much decided that the consequences of not doing so are exceptionally serious. And I think the evidence seems to be in this case that what they're worried about is significant melting of the core.
Yeah. It's amazing with the technology that's required to even create this, that you hear stuff like that and you're like, seawater? That's the best we've come up with? We're just going to put seawater in it and hope
well,
that it...
When they dump seawater in it, they know that the reactor can never be used again because the salt and minerals that are in seawater just completely destroy a reactor. So they, anytime they do that, they know that something really bad is happening.
Yeah. Ken in Chicago on the disaster. Hello, Ken.
Hi there. No one is talking about any connection, if there is one, between turning our Earth's core into Swiss cheese from all the oil drilling and the amount of earthquakes that are happening, because it just makes sense. If oil is removed from the Earth in enough pockets, the Earth is going to shift and it's going to cause the fault lines to move. But no one's talking about it.
Well, oil wells. I don't think I've ever heard a scientist say that that's connected to? Yeah, you're talking about tectonic plates?
Oil wells don't go down to the Earth's core.
Okay.
That's all right. Okay.
I'm just pointing that out. You know,
I think a lot of amateur science around this is all I'm saying. Listen, I'm with you on the drilling. I'm just not sure that's been connected to causing earthquakes, but I could be wrong. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, much more to come. We've got a Mondays with McClurg and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website, check it out, you can email us all there, you can see us too!
Yes!
That's my teeth sparkling, ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
And there's check a chat out. Room there, and a whole bunch of people are chatting, and why don't you join in the fun?
Come on down!
Yeah!
All right, Victoria and Ventura, she has some advice for my poor, pathetic, sad, lonely spinsterhood. Steph, as a longtime listener, I've learned some things about you. Your house is crumbling around you, yes, and you can't wait to get home and start drinking your box wine, yes. And let's face it, at our age, like you, I'm 60. Oh, bitch. I am not 60.
You're close.
And also, Victoria,
I am not one of your fans!
I'm starting to think of retirement, so when I was cruising the interwebs, I came across this Beaver site. I thought of you. It's a lovely motorhome made by Beaver. Model name, Patriot Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Steph, it's a Beaver Patriot Thunder.
Yeah.
Sell your house and move into this classy, brand-new, leak-proof RV with your dogs. For now, you can keep it parked at the glamorous Stephanie Miller International Studios so that you are drinking adjacent at all times. Then when you retire, you can do a cross-country tour with all of the dreadful packing. Which we know you can't do. No, I can't. I'm not a good packer, Victoria. Thank you.
My family
Patriot Thunder. Beaver Patriot.
My family had a Beaver when I was a kid.
Really?
Yes, we had a Beaver RV. We did. Yep.
It could be a it could be a patriotism tour like Newt Gingrich.
Mm.
I could demand certain things in the name of America. All right. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
All right. He probably was thinking of driving east instead of coming here to get away from the radiation.
Yes, that's entirely possible.
Yeah. Here's the not so fun facts about Japan. A professor of physics. I was thinking, not that our listeners, who dabble in science don't have exactly the, correct theories
about magma.
Yes.
Yeah.
He said you need to get rid of, he's talking about the reactor, because a lot of people are wondering if the core is melting. he said you need to get rid of the heat. You're basically putting the lid down on a pot that's boiling. They have a window of opportunity where they can do a lot, he said, such as using seawater as an emergency coolant. But if the heat is not brought down, the cascading problems can eventually be impossible to control. This isn't something that will happen in a few hours. It's days.
Yeah.
Okay. Dave Stone, L.A. County Fire Chief.
To me, it's the right thing to do. As a United States citizen, as a member of the international search and rescue community.
Yeah, the search and rescue team from Los Angeles County is headed over there to Japan right now. And from all over the world, people are going there.
Yeah, yeah. Here is a USS Blue Ridge sailor.
We're over here to help protect the Japanese people.
And more of our ships are headed over there as we speak.
Yeah, along with the UK. Here's a UK search and rescue.
We know there are miraculous survivors, many days after an incident like this, but we do know that the longer time goes on, the less likely it is we'll find survivors.
It's what we do know already is just horrifying. Jim, I was wondering if you were even going to show up today.
Because of the radiation?
Yes.
Hmm. Well, it's not here yet. So,
yeah.
But I need to get a head start, so I should leave in about 5 minutes.
Yes. Radiation comes out at night, mostly. Mostly.
No, but it's a huge disaster, and it's only going to get worse, I'm afraid. And by the way, not to disrupt your Reagasm, but Reagan was against nuclear weapons, not nuclear energy.
He
was the one who tore out the solar panels that Carter put in. Had Carter been elected to a second term, he might have been, rid of nuclear power and just turned the entire Southwest into a giant photovoltaic cell.
Yeah. Pete in Chicago. Hi, Pete.
How you doing, Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
Hi, Mooks. How you doing?
Good.
I consider him getting into the world.
Ronald Reagan had to back off 140 kilometers because they got exposed to radiation.
Ironically.
Two sailors did, too.
The USS Ronald Reagan.
Yes, ironically. Jim, that's what we were talking about last hour, the horrible irony of that Japan, the only country that's had nukes dropped on them, could literally be nuking itself. It's beyond horrifying. I was reading the LA Times piece that I just found fascinating. A Wired World sees the horror as it happens. In terms of, the way the world has changed. Instead of bearing witness to a disaster's aftermath, viewers watch in wrenching real time the catastrophic events in Japan. Reversed in bearing witness to the aftermath of disasters, this was different. A disaster unfolding in visceral, wrenching real time for viewers who were alternately spellbound and tortured by their inability to do anything about it. Japan, of course, one of the most wired nations in the world. At one point Friday, there were 20 tweets a second coming out of Tokyo. The nation, meanwhile, is a voracious consumer of information, and media outlets and government officials had plenty of time after the quake to get their cameras in place, as well as estimates of where the waves would hit and when, which proved quite accurate. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think people were saying. I'm not sure we've ever watched anything quite in real time like this. It was a confluence of events and circumstances that helped us watch and forced us to watch in a new way.
Well, I guess the good news is we're ahead of schedule for 2012, where the Earth is already falling apart. So that's great. By the way, Glenn Beck, much as I hate to agree with him on anything, he was right about the earthquake machines. It's called,
Chris, you called this. It's called, at 6 o'clock this morning. Jim is going to bring up earthquake machines.
It's called High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, or HARP. Former Defense Secretary William Cohen talked about it in 1997. Where is that? He's talked about the Russian version of Sura, which he was worried about.
Okay. So are you implying that someone caused the earthquake with an earthquake machine?
Well, the people who watch out for these things, they show the high activity in the HARP thing. By the way, let me read this thing from William Cohen. He's saying, others are engaging in an eco-type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes and volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. So there are plenty of ingenious minds out there that are at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon other nations. It's real, and that's the reason we have to intensify our efforts. That was Defense Secretary William Cohen in 1997.
Okay. Donna in Texas, you're on
he's a crazy nut job.
Okay, Jim, this was caused by an earthquake machine. I agree.
I don't know that, but there is that possibility.
All right, Donna in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, folks. I'm actually from Lake County, California, and it's a rural area, and we overpump the groundwater in an area in the Big Valley, a town called Finley, and the ground actually subsided by 17 inches in the whole valley floor.
Well, yes. That happens because it causes a major pothole, if you will, because you're pumping out support for the ground. But it has absolutely nothing to do with tectonic plates or the Earth's core, which is what that caller was saying.
I understand that, but when they were talking about pumping out of the oil from the ocean floor, my husband and I have pondered, when you pump out those huge reservoirs of oil and you have such a heavy weight on the sea floor, isn't it going to collapse that empty cavity?
That's what a lot of people are surmising about the Gulf of Mexico, that there's so much oil and gas that's come out of there.
Creates a massive sinkhole.
And then you have massive tidal waves.
Right.
Gary in Michigan on the same subject. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Stephanie. Hey. You're even more beautiful on radio.
Oh, well, thank you.
And Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller proves it.
Steph, I couldn't help but call in listening to that poor guy about the last call or two about us putting holes in the crust and causing sinkholes and earthquakes. So if we're going to be good lefties, we can at least keep up on the science of the last 100 years, if not maybe the 100 days. I know people are going to call in and nitpick mine and say I'm wrong. I'm going to give you an extremely basic measurement of it. There are some theories of even two molten cores rotating in opposite directions, but I'm going to ignore that part and say the Earth's got basically three layers, a hard, very hot center core. It's too much gravity, too much weight to be molten, and a very large molten core.
And then we have our crust for standing on, and it runs all 45 to 60 miles deep. I don't recall any time we've ever drilled deeper than maybe 2 miles for oil.
Right.
And as big as these oil fields are, as big as these holes are that we're voiding to the size of the earth, those are nothing more than little bubbles. If you took the rind of an orange and considered it the crust of the earth, that took a pin and just barely poked into one of those tiny little orange bumps on the top, that's about how deep we're going at our core.
Right.
We're not affecting the earth tectonics. We're not affecting earthquakes, tsunamis, anything by doing what we're doing.
Yeah. All right, honey. Thank you.
A sinkhole collapsing might cause a tsunami, but it has absolutely nothing to do with an earthquake or a tectonic plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was talking about the human element of it. I thought Deepak Chopra had some really interesting thoughts. He said he was surprised to find his first thoughts as he watched the disaster unfold were of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. He said, imagine if Americans had watched those bombs explode on live television in real time, the way we're watching this. He said, would we be as tolerant as we are in many other countries are stockpiling nuclear weapons? We're living in a very interesting time. He said, what is emerging is that you cannot separate yourself emotionally or in any other way from what's happening elsewhere in the world. We're a global community. We need to realize that we are now entangled with everything that happens everywhere.
Well, at the time, though, people thought, if we have a big bomb that's going to kill a lot of Japanese and no Americans, good. That's because they didn't really realize the implications of the whole thing.
Yeah. But I mean, I think he makes a good point that if, you know, you had had to actually watch that in real time happen. For years now, someone else made a good point. Americans have reveled in an unlikely and incongruous notion on television, reality that is unreal. Said one analyst, here's something different, reality that was real. It's the shock of seeing real reality instead of fake reality. It seems paradoxically unreal. A lot of these reality shows are based on watching people suffer, watching them suffer physically, watching them suffer financially. It's important to recognize we don't have to create suffering in this world. There is suffering in this world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I've never liked those reality shows, because they just seem so mean-spirited to me. It just seems so Lord of the Flies, like when's, you know, somebody going to kill the fat kid with a rock? It's like, how does it end, you know? And it's just...
Not all reality shows are like that.
Okay. Which ones aren't?
The Amazing Race.
Amazing Race. That's the one that I
watch. All right, that's the one.
they just race against each other. They don't kill each other with rocks.
Okay. Well, good. Yeah. Good. I'm for that, then.
Okay, then.
Yeah, but you were saying Rebecca's depressed, you know? Just when you, and that's the thing, you watch a lot of it, it's hard not to be.
Well, especially sitting here in California, just a few miles from the coast.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
And there are two reactors, the one San Onofre down near San Diego, and also, what's the other one?
Rancho Seco.
Rancho Seco and
right.
Devil's Canyon, I think.
And did you know that the tsunami caused $50 million
of
worth
damage
of damage along the California coast?
We can afford it. We're in good shape.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say good.
The planet's really not that big.
I wonder if we can borrow some money from Wisconsin. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back with all the latest on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
How dare you speak to me that way?
I'm producing.
Sometimes he just barks at me. Go, talk. Jeez, 22 minutes after the hour, it is the...
I'm producing talk. Motion.
Listen.
What?
There's been a lot happening. It's hard for an old woman to keep up. There's nuclear stuff happening and tragedy in Japan and there's protests in Wisconsin and there's one thing that can bring us all back to center and that is Michelle Bachmann is still a dope.
Yep.
A great big dope.
What I love about New Hampshire and what we have in common is our extreme love for liberty. You're the state where the shot was heard around the world at Lexington and Concord.
That would be Massachusetts, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's kind of just south of there. There is a Concord.
Looking at those Fox maps again.
there is a Concord in New Hampshire.
And apparently
however, it's not the right
Egypt,
one.
According to Fox maps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Oh, boy.
She later took to her Facebook page to defend the flub. So I misplaced the battles of Concord and Lexington by saying they were in New Hampshire. My mistake.
No.
By the way, it'll be the last time our borough president Obama's teleprompter. Except as the Minnesota Post reports, she made the same gaffe in her speech in New Hampshire on Friday night.
Okay, that's the second time I used Obama's tail up rapture.
You know, really, anybody who's ever watched Schoolhouse Rock knows that Lexington and Concord are in Massachusetts. Seriously.
There's a Concord in California as well.
As you recall the historical fun facts, this is not her first puzzling gaffe, as Politico calls it. She, you know, in January, she claimed the authors of the Declaration of Independence sought to end slavery.
That is...
I guess from beyond the grave, but not really while they were alive.
Took
so
a
much.
Huge war to undo the damage that slavery caused.
Yes. Last week, she said the country should rely on David Petraeus's advice about what to do about Libya, even though as head of the forces in Afghanistan, Petraeus has no say about what... I saw that live, and I was like... We should do what General Petraeus says? What? He's not involved. He's not. That's the other war, Dopey. Okay. A little ironically, Bachman's speech also included a riff on public education in which she talked about the importance of teaching the nation's school children basic facts. She said, I don't think our public schools are necessarily a place where one fixed set of political beliefs should be imposed on our students. I think that knowledge, facts, and information should be on the table. Let students decide what their beliefs should be. So if they think... Concord and whatever in
Lexington,
New Hampshire, then fine.
Right.
Why? That's maybe it's a matter of opinion.
If they feel that 2 + 2 = 7, so be it.
Yes.
That's their
Don't
right
be so
to believe
judgmental.
That.
Judgmental.
Concord and whatever.
If they think the founding fathers ended slavery, then fine.
Concord and whatever.
It's why can't history be more loosey goosey. Joe in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I got some good news.
Okay.
About 2 weeks ago, 60 Minutes ran a show about the homeless we have here in Seminole County.
Mm-hmm.
And just this past weekend, Sunday, at one of our First Baptist mega churches, where pretty much all the movers and shakers of Orlando go, they raised over $5.6 million to help those people.
Uh-huh.
This is Republicans. I mean, these are most people that go there, like Republicans, big name. I'm thinking to myself, well, if they can raise that kind of money, then why aren't they spending that money out in the community and helping to create jobs, too? You know, I mean, can go a lot farther than that, you know?
That's yes, where are the jobs, in the words of the boner?
Yes.
They've had these tax breaks for quite some time.
I suspect the jobs are in jobbers. Oh, God.
Seamus in Washington. Seamus, sorry.
Hi, how are you?
Sorry.
Long time. Everyone messes that up. It's okay. I'm a long time fan of Liz there, but I hate to burst Jim's conspiracy bubble here. As I explained to your screener, I have a doctorate in astrophysics, specifically orbital mechanics, and I work a lot with satellite communications. I worked on HARP 2 years ago up in Alaska, which was terrible because there's like nothing up there. Anyway, HARP is not what you think it is. HARP is strictly a high-end communication device, primarily to try and penetrate ionosphere interference with satellite communications and high altitude communications and so forth. It doesn't generate enough power to bounce off the atmosphere or create clouds or create an earthquake or things like that. It's also not a secret government facility. It is open to the public. They have tours of it every summer. It's also run by the University of Alaska now. Now, it was designed and created by DARPA. I'm sure you've heard of them, the people who actually made the Internet.
Right.
And so I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I understand Jim's concern and things like that, and I still love listening to him, but that's absolutely incorrect.
Well, I was quoting William Cohen on, he was talking about the Russian version of it called, I think, Sura, and he was concerned that could be used to...
But, you know, but let's think about that. That's more like a Red Scare, trying to promote a Red Scare. I mean, of course, the Russians keep it a little more secret to themselves because they keep most everything secret, even now they're supposed to be our allies. But the same thing is, it is a mass communication array to try and penetrate ionosphere interference. That's all it is.
Seamus, what are you do again?
I'm a government contractor. I primarily work in orbital mechanics with satellites.
You're an astro engineer.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So let me get this straight. So Jim believes you because you're an astro, whatever. But when I say the same thing, I'm just a naive, happy-clappy liberal.
I don't know what to say to that. I plead the fifth.
Yeah, it's best to stay out of our inner family squabbles.
He didn't want to get dragged into our family argument. Jim just assumes it's because I'm an idiot. All right. Let's go to Alice in Arkansas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Alice.
Good morning.
Hello.
And we had 10 earthquakes in Arkansas yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And since September, we have had over 900.
Right. Is that all part of the New Madrid fault?
No.
No?
No, this is separate from the New Madrid Fault. Hmm. And what they are suspecting is it has to do with fracking.
Right, right. I was just talking about that.
And actually, just last week, the two of the major energy companies agreed to temporarily suspend the injection wells. The injection wells are where they put the wastewater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I've heard a lot about this when I was up in Ithaca. And, I think that's
poisoning
legitimate.
Poisoning groundwater, among other things.
Yeah, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This dessert menu is funnier than...
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, but funnier than the cocktail napkins.
They're blank.
Yes, but there are two K sounds in cocktail.
Yes, there are.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Brenda in Washington. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Brenda.
Hi.
Hi.
My husband was in Japan during the earthquake. And he caught a flight back, and he had to go to Detroit in order to get back to Washington. And he bought a fifth of whiskey in the duty-free station, and he put it in his carry-on luggage and didn't get it in his suitcase. So he flew 11 hours from Japan to Detroit, and when he got through customs and everything. Then when he went to get on the flight to go from Detroit to Seattle, TSA confiscated his fifth of whiskey.
Oh, God. That reminds me when they ran out of wine on my cross-country flight. I'm like, what? No.
It's national security. We have to confiscate your whiskey.
Yeah. Sam in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Sam.
Cubes?
Hey, Stephanie. I'd like to report on, it came out last Wednesday about a super moon is what they're calling it, mm-hmm. which I used to do out of windows. But referring to the moon will be at its closest approach on March 19th, mm-hmm. and it could be responsible for, you know, more earthquakes, and it was kind of interesting that space.com said the bottom line is the supermoon won't cause a preponderance of earthquakes, but looks like they predicted it correctly.
Wow, interesting. I haven't even heard of the supermoon.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be close.
The moon, you know, tugs on the Earth, you know, causes tides and all that, so why can't it tug on tectonic plates? I totally believe that.
I have a correction to my Michelle Bachman is a dope story.
Oh?
Michelle Bachman is a double dope. I missed another. She not only had one flood, there were two. She not only said, well, here, what I love about New Hampshire we have in common is our extreme love for liberty, your state where the shot was heard around the world in Lexington and Concord.
No,
that was in Massachusetts. She also said, you keep that baton of liberty. You've done it very well for almost 20 generations from the time the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock. And I'm sure the very first one came up to New Hampshire and said, this is where I want to be. Oh, dear. Of course, as the
Plymouth
school
Rock
children,
Massachusetts.
Yes, in attendance could tell her, the battles of Lexington Concord that sparked the American Revolution. And the Pilgrim's Landing took place in Massachusetts, not in New Hampshire. She put Pilgrim Rock in New Hampshire as well.
Plymouth Rock.
Yes, Plymouth Rock. But Bachman did not correct her error when she referenced the battles again later in her speech. So it wasn't just a one-time flub, as she claimed. This is hardly the first time she has flubbed the country's basic history, as we know. She's kind of magically removed slavery from the whole thing. Yeah.
I really like the people of New Chusets.
She just placed it where the presidential primary is, just for her convenience.
Exactly.
Plymouth Rock and the battles, yes.
When the battles were fought in... Never mind.
Yes, in Sputnik.
Yes.
Okay,
tomorrow we're going to be having George Takei on the show talking about his efforts for the Japan relief efforts. So there you go.
Bob in Madison. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, hey, Stephanie. Just wanted to point out... found out that Scott Walker, when he got elected, said he wasn't going to be living in a governor's mansion, and I think he kind of knew that he wouldn't be there that long.
Maybe he knew what he was...
He's still living in his house in Wauwatosa, you know, of course, guarded by the cops, but he probably didn't want to go through that whole moving expense twice in a year, so...
Yeah, exactly. What, Bob, were you at the protest this weekend?
No, I didn't make it there this weekend. I was there about 3 weekends ago when it was, and at that time there was about 100,000.
Yeah.
They're reporting yesterday 100,000 at bowl. That was 150 if it wasn't more than that.
That's what I heard. Yeah, no, I heard the one that was 100,000 on February 27th. They said they surpassed those numbers this weekend.
Yeah, and then it was snowing and cold, and then people were coming out and they were loving it. Yeah, everybody was so great there, and, you know, I saw two Scott Walker supporters that day. That was all I saw. But, one of my coworkers was there Saturday, and he said, you can hardly move, but he said the spirit was up there, and we're going to keep this going here in Wisconsin.
Yep, you've got a Supreme Court election coming up in a couple of weeks, I believe. Yeah,
yep.
And that could change.
Yep.
Yeah, and this could turn the whole thing around. Thank you so much, honey. Okay, the Democratic state senators that came back were got a hero's welcome, of course, from all these supporters there. I love this. Republican Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald.
Yes.
As I've said before, F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Frankly.
F is a verb in this case.
Yeah. Said the 14 Democratic senators pretend to be heroes for taking a three-week vacation.
Oh, pay attention. Oh, a vacation?
Pay attention. Yeah, that's what they were doing. They were just taking a little time off.
Does he
Please.
Not realize how much of a hardship this was for them?
Wisconsin State Senator Spencer Coggs.
This has always been about workers' rights. So we want to unite, we want to fight, and we want to give back workers' rights.
Ah, listen to that crowd.
You mean workers' lefts, don't you? Ha, 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 ha. Good one.
One of the other senators said the Republicans did something very extraordinary last Wednesday and Thursday. It's clear what we did was legal, and it's certain what they did was illegal. And you know, I think, again, that may play out in the courts, particularly if there is a change in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But what they did was explicitly not illegal. They kept trying to make that sound like it was. It is not illegal what they did. Spencer Cox.
Brothers and sisters, I'm back. We're back. We're skipping our own dance tonight.
Sure, they were very happy for that.
A lot of a maracas there or something. What is the thing everybody's shaking? Something.
Maybe it was someone with a maraca too close to the microphone.
That could be.
Wisconsin.
Maybe it was a broken vuvuzela.
Yeah. Vuvuzelas don't rattle like that.
I broke my vuvuzela. Wisconsin State Senator John Erpenbach.
They never once in the final week talked about the issue that was compelling the people of the state of Wisconsin to get out into the streets. And the reason why they weren't is they don't have an answer. They don't.
Yeah. And I love the other thing is they keep trying to say that the governor kept reaching out. Yeah.
No.
I want to share the facts with you that for 18 days, Governor Walker had no communication with us at all. I wish he did.
Yeah. And Wisconsin State Senator Dave Hansen.
People think that this is a picnic for us. They're wrong. But I'll tell you something. We did it for the right reasons. We stood up for our working men and women of this state.
Yeah, I love the, vacation with pay. Yeah, right. Like, you want to go stay in a hotel room in Illinois away from your friends and family. And,
yeah.
All right. And
an interesting verbal slip from Governor Scott Walker here on Morning Joe from this past Friday.
Governor Wake.
They're going to realize this was the right thing to do to protect the middle class in Wisconsin.
What?
The white thing
what?
To do.
Dog whistle. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Charles in Los Angeles on the earthquake. Hello, Charles.
Okay. Hey, now let me get this straight. You mean you have astral engineers listening to the Stephanie Miller show?
That's right.
I know, right?
That's right. Right? Totally. Because we're like the smartest.
Claims.
Yeah, because we're like the smartest show and all, right?
I tell you. Well, you know, I got some serious stuff to report here. This past weekend, I was trying to contact the Navy any way I could because I was concerned about the radiation going offshore and affecting our Navy personnel. Well, it turned out that's exactly what happened. So now the Navy's starting to back off away from that from those plants.
Wow.
Yeah, because that radiation was blown right offshore. The weathermen kept saying, hey, it's no problem, it's no problem, because it's blown offshore. I'm saying to myself, well, who the hell's offshore? It's the Navy.
Yeah. Oh, no, one of my friends is ready to pack her kids and start driving east. Somebody else had friends that already started driving east. I'm like, all right, well, can't tell, like, is that necessary?
The Days Inn in Schaumburg is available now.
Yeah. So. There's some rooms open.
You know what, though? You get bombarded with a lot of radiation in everyday life, you know, standing next to your microwave.
Flying an airplane.
I don't think that's exactly the same as a core melting into your power plant.
No, but I mean, it dissipates.
It dissipates, and we're far enough away where it's not going to be, you know,
still.
Yeah. Yeah. Any more than what you get on a normal
day.
You may
end up taking iodine pills pretty soon.
By the way, defendingwisconsin.org is a site a lot of people have sent me that want to stay abreast of what is happening there. Clark in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Clark.
Hey. I believe that the right and the left is both corrupt, Democrats, Republicans. If you see the movie The Inside Job, it'll convince you that it's true. But anyways, I called because Sheriff Joe Arpaio is a Republican, creates jobs every week out here. Last week he arrested 150 illegal aliens with ID theft, fraud, and within 48 hours there was an ad at Payway Chinese restaurant chain. He raided the corporate offices.
How is that creating jobs?
Because it has created jobs for American citizens. It freed up jobs that... And it was lined up, and the people were glad to take those jobs. They were interviewing a white woman who said she'd rather work for $8-9 an hour than work than have nothing.
Those are jobs that are already there. Those jobs weren't created.
But they're created.
No,
for
they're jobs that are already there, sir.
They were ID theft.
They're jobs that are already there.
And
it's not creating jobs.
And you think those people file income taxes?
Sheriff Arpaio is not creating jobs.
He is creating jobs for American citizens. That's a fact. And in my
there are
opinion,
jobs that are already there for American citizens, sir.
Well, why aren't they being taken? Because they're hiring illegals cheaper. Fake IDs. You guys like IDs?
No, I'm not saying that's not that doesn't exist. I mean, it does exist. Well, it's just I don't think Sheriff Joe is going to
Please don't call him Sheriff Joe. He wants to be called that. He has trademarked that.
Oh,
that is not a name we're to call him. It's
Arpaio,
Sheriff Arpaio.
Whatever.
Yes.
No, my... My point is, we need comprehensive immigration reform. It's like they do one little segment of something and think that's gonna it's whack-a-mole, and we're gonna have to address it at some point. Let's go to Lori in Chicago, who went to the rallies. Hi, Lori.
Hi, guys. I was in Madison on Saturday, and when you have 100,000-plus people and Dane County sheriffs and Madison police policemen pretty much smiling at the signs, I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
And real quickly, I sent you guys an email. I felt something that I think is even more key. Saturday night, Walker was at a closed fundraising event in Washburn, Wisconsin, a very tiny town on the farther end of Wisconsin on Lake Superior. Population 2,200. He was greeted by, they estimated, anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 protesters as he entered that restaurant, and they stayed. Now, this is on a Saturday night, on a cold winter's night in northern Wisconsin. When you know what? When you have that many people in that rural area coming out to protest, you're in trouble.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that's the thing that we were saying that kills us in the mainstream media. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, both sides. They're on both sides. It's like, no, not any poll, not any actual protest has had anywhere near equal numbers. Liz in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Liz.
Hey, Steph. I was there on Saturday as well. And I have to tell you, I was shoulder to shoulder with people packed for an entire block. I mean, four blocks that surround the Capitol, wall-to-wall people. It was amazing. And, you know, I know people talk about the numbers and how many people were there. This is day 26. That was day 26.
Yep.
We have zombie rallies planned on April 2nd. We will be there every Saturday until they are all recalled and they are all done.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, it's the most amazing experience. I'm so proud to be there.
Now, was there a lot of violence and thuggery, as was reported on Fox News?
No, actually, there were people handing their mittens and gloves to little kids because it was so cold, and it was just outright generosity. It's free food. It's free hand warmers. It's people signing recalls. It was so packed. I got claustrophobic. I had to walk like five blocks away just to get out of the crowd. It was insane, and I was right there when the firefighters started their march. I'm going to get emotional again. There were bagpipes, full dress uniforms, and I was right there, and I look over, and oh my gosh, it's the 14. The 14 are there.
Yeah.
I screamed thank you at the top of my lungs. It was like I was at a rock concert. Their eyes were full of so much gratitude. This is the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced, and that includes the birth of my children. This is so insanely unreal, and I want everyone to join with us and take over your capitals.
Yeah, well, thank you, honey. I appreciate it.
Oh,
yeah.
Love
ya. Yeah, I love you, too. There I am watching Sarah Palin on Sean Hannity show. She had a warning about the protests going on against Walker's bill. Yeah, she said that unions should tone down the rhetoric against the bill because it'll result in people getting hurt. That seems vaguely...
mistakes were made.
She said, well, those union bosses that are acting like thugs...
God.
...that are they are leading some of their good union members down a road that will ultimately result in, unfortunately, somebody getting hurt. If you believe the death threats that are being received by those who happen to support amending some collective bargaining privileges of state unions, well, it's these union bosses' responsibility to turn down the rhetoric and start getting truth out there so nobody gets hurt.
Yeah. So she's threatening people with violence on rumors.
She didn't think that her own violent gun rhetoric needed to be toned down after the Gabrielle Giffords shooting.
No.
But she thinks...
It's the union leaders need to calm these thugs down that are, you know...
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. About their collective bargaining, which is another word for thuggery.
48.
We have some sad news coming out of Buffalo that I'll tell you about when we get back.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Taylor Dane, really?
Sure, why not?
Synth We're filling the gaping hole in Taylor Dane music and talk radio. What? What?
What?
53 minutes after the hour. Mondays with McClurg coming up after the top of the hour. The delightful Edie McClurg joins us. Chris,
what?
This is, I need some very... I'm a Buffalo girl, as you know.
You are.
I'm from Lockport, New York. I'm the transit from Cheektowaga at Tanawanda.
Buffalo girls, won't you come out tonight? Won't you come out tonight?
Did you ever come out tonight?
Tanawanda. No.
No?
Not when I was there.
Oh, okay.
Frank in Hamburg, which is also up the transit. Everything's up the transit.
Apparently.
Dear Steph, I thought I would let you know that Rick Martin, number 7 of the Sabres French Connection, passed away Saturday afternoon.
Richard Martin?
Yes, there is some dispute on whether it's Mick Martin, but I think it was Rick Martin.
The chat room was confusing him with Ricky Martin.
No.
And they're wondering if he was gay.
No, Rick Martin, along with anybody? Anybody?
Guy Lafleur?
No!
No?
Oh, you are so...
I thought Guy Lafleur was part of the
I'm
French Connection.
I'm going to make you drink a Jenny Cream Ale later and like, eat a beef on weck.
Well, okay. I hear those are good.
No! It is Gilbert Perreault and René Robert.
Guy Lafleur wasn't...
No, Guy Lafleur was not a Buffalo Saber. What's the matter with you?
Sorry.
You're not up in your upstate New York hockey.
I guess not. I've never been to upstate New York, for crying out loud.
We just say Guy Lafleur. Why? Because we like to say Guy Lafleur. Okay.
Plus, we have a Guy Lafleur doll over there, a little action figure.
Mm-hmm. Along, we like to say Bark Bark, too.
Bark Bark.
Sheboygan.
And Sheboygan.
Yay.
Who doesn't love to say Sheboygan?
Sheboygan.
We should be saying that a lot more with Wisconsin in the news.
I think so.
Sure, and they need collective bargaining in
Sheboygan. Sheboygan, hey. Okay, Joel. Joel in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello, Joel.
Good morning. You know, the gentleman who called a little bit ago saying that Joe Arpaio had created jobs for Americans. Listen, I operated a big, expensive restaurant in Southern California, and I simply could not keep Americans in those jobs. And I did not pay Mexicans any less, and quite frankly, they were the best workers I could have had in that position. When one of them would go back to their little village, they'd bring their own replacement and train them. This is the new Jose today. Hey, here he is. And these aren't creating jobs for Americans. I challenge you to go back in a week or a month and see if anybody who's taken that job is still there in that position a week after they take that job.
Yeah, well, he cited anecdotally one white woman who was thrilled to have a job in the kitchen of the Chinese restaurant. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Although
all right.
Pei Wei is delicious.
Mm. Okay, let's go to Toby in Indiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Toby.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
This is kind of along the Wisconsin lines. Here in Indiana, I have several friends in education who are complaining that they see that us going the same way that Wisconsin is going. Mitch Daniels, a lot of people are talking about him as being a presidential candidate, and he's done a lot of what I consider not good for our state. He's balanced the budget, I guess, give us a surplus, but what people don't realize is all the things that he's done to get there and all the little people he has stepped on and jobs we've lost for him to get there.
Yep, absolutely. Was he on Meet the Press? What's his name? Mitch Daniels?
I don't know.
Okay, I saw him somewhere else. Lee in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Lee.
Well, thank you. I was at that rally on Saturday also, and I did see some of the violence. Somebody bumped into me.
Oh, damn it.
As we were shoulder to shoulder. But
there was jostling.
Our Secretary of State, Doug LaFollette, a Democrat, is not going to be publishing the bill or the law now for another 10 days, he said. This is not an emergency. There's no need to publish it. He's going to wait, and this will give the courts a little bit of time to take a look and see if they want to impose this injunction.
Yep. And Joanne Kloppenberg, I believe, is the Supreme Court justice that's running, right, in a couple of weeks? Yes. And we must vote. We should vote for her, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Duly noted.
Duly noted. We'll have her on. Let's go to
We'll try to have her on.
Yes. Next. Gary in Dallas.
Hello. Hello, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah. One thing that I haven't heard, of course, I haven't watched, listened to your show lately, is the power of one. Say what you will about the Republican Party. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're lower than termite food. But, you know, the Democratic Party does not get behind any cause whatsoever.
Yes, we do, don't we, Jim?
Yeah. We'll get right on that.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. We have a brand new sponsorship page, StephanieMiller.com/sponsor. You can sponsor an hour of the Stephanie Miller Show. See, dreams can come true. You can do birthday shout outs, small business, whatever.
You can be part of the anarchy.
What? Edie McClurg, you're not here yet. All right, maybe you're here.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Now she's here. McClurg.
You're not here to hear jingle.
Motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore it.
Edie McClurg.
Hey, do we have this yet? Because we have everything else on our website, Chris. We have a bizarre magazine has announced plans for a scratch and sniff front cover featuring the scent of latex underwear.
What?
Do any parts of StephanieMiller.com, are they scratch and sniff? No?
No.
Have we not accomplished that yet? Fine. All right. Speaking of Stephanie Miller Incorporated, David Bender is at my house.
Oh,
and he checks in now.
Norma.
It is so Norma Desmond at my house. My giant dog Max is there, who I keep yelling for.
Max.
David and I are working on a writing project. I already broke his car, so we can't leave. He's going to be floating face down in the pool any minute now.
I am. It's the picture that got
everyone
small.
Everyone is invited to the monkey funeral, which
yes.
is later today.
Yes.
Oh. I'm sure Buster Keaton will show up.
And you said you thought it would be fun to go to Paramount, and I said that's actually the lot that my failed late night show is on. So we really should do that.
Wow.
It gets better and better. And of course, Chris, you get to be Eric von Stroheim.
Of course.
Good morning, David Bender. What are you doing? Are you naked? Are you doing...
You know, I was shocked to hear you say that you didn't remember if Mitch Daniels was on Meet the Press, because we were in bed together watching it.
That's right. We were in bed together drinking coffee and reading the New York Times as the happy little couple we are.
Listen to the way she's putting the proper spin on it, right? You know, we were drinking coffee. We were, you know, the reason you can't remember Mitch Daniels is you were incredibly distracted by me.
That's right. I, well, and who wouldn't be, Bender?
Well, that's the way it is. And Chris, I noted, duly noted, by the way, that when she broke this news to you at the top of the show, that there's a man in my bed.
Yes.
And you went, wow, big news.
Yes.
And then she said, and it's David Bender. And you went,
Again,
I'm keeping notes here at home.
Yes. And can you please tell the folks what a good little woman I am? Have I not been serving you hand and foot all weekend?
Well, I'm trying to figure out whether this helps your reputation or hurts it. Okay? Independent, strong, feminist mama is actually bringing coffee, pouring wine, lighting fires.
Yes.
The most incredibly gracious host you can possibly
want. Now, David, when Hal Sparks stayed with her for an extended period of time, he looked in her refrigerator and said, my God, you eat like a teenage boy. Can you confirm that?
That was in New York when I'd lost the will to live. No, now I have food.
Okay.
I have seen no teenage boys in the refrigerator. I've been looking, but I've seen none.
You're right. We were saying that yesterday. I'm this strong feminist woman, and I get kind of girly around boys. Yeah. He came in. I'm like, Daddy's home.
Daddy.
What can I? Daddy's home.
The truth is, it is absolutely everything in there. And frankly, as someone who is looking for like a little chocolate, there isn't a piece of chocolate in.
Yes,
this
there
box.
Is in the second shelf in the refrigerator, honey.
Oh, good.
I swear to God, there's a little box of chocolates there.
I gotta hang up now.
All right.
There's chocolate in the house.
All right. We'll see you here officially on Thursday.
Lots
you and you and Mommy will drive to work together.
Absolutely. Big hugs. Hi, Edie.
Hello there.
See you soon.
All right.
Okie dokie.
Stephanie, with your life change, you're not going to be needing that chocolate anymore.
Exactly.
Right?
I don't care anymore. All right. Edie, I apologize. We got our return to Bender in the middle of our Mondays with McClurg, and we apologize.
And my core is melting.
Listen, mine's already. I think the change is done for me. Yeah, what a weekend. Were you watching TV a lot?
Yeah, I just got lower and lower and lower, and it's just like, do I have to keep
I know.
watching
Well, this? We were saying, for in the country, we've gotten so used to reality TV, and we're like, oh, this is real reality. Oh, this is really, yeah.
And then I would look at what was going on in Wisconsin, and I'd be heartened, you know, that these people are out there, you know, hopefully controlling their destiny. By not giving up and, putting it out there over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Imagine standing out in that freezing cold.
I know. Yeah, I know. I had some Buffalo flashbacks for sure. All right. Mary in San Francisco on the earthquake. Hi, Mayor.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, first of all, a couple of fun facts. We are now 8 feet closer to Japan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
And also the Earth's rotation has changed by 1.8 microseconds. It is now a little bit slower.
Wow.
So I guess that means our years will be longer or shorter or something. Anyway.
Or it means I wasn't late this
morning?
unless you were in Wisconsin, then you set the clock back 50 years. See, on workers' rights. That's what happened if you were in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, Jim, do you know, David Bender explained this to me. I may have to call him back. He's clearly not doing anything. He's been emailing me all morning, calling me. Yeah. He's just in a house dress waiting for me to come home.
House dress.
With a flouncy collar? Oh, I want a flouncy collar.
If you're listening, David, you better have lunch ready when I get home. Now.
Oh, God.
The 8.9 quake, that's the other thing. Is someone had said something about why didn't, the 7 something get as much coverage. And they were saying that when you go up, it's actually 300 times more powerful. It's not just the point whatever that it sounds like it is more powerful. It really is just of unprecedented proportions is what they're saying. I can't remember, but when you get to a certain number, then it's like 300 times more powerful and yada, yada.
And I think the coverage, because there were so many cameras in real time.
That's what we were
really
saying about that Japan is so wired, and we're also wired that, and also because of the science and technology that you know in advance, that's what we were saying is we were watching this in real time. It wasn't even like the aftermath, like Katrina in some cases and that sort of thing. It was the actual...
Then it comes all the way across the ocean, and then you see the boats in Santa Cruz banging into one another.
Yeah.
That
says,
oh,
no,
what
it's
a tiny world we live in.
You know, it's like people react in scary movies sometimes and yell out and stuff. Whose joke is that? It's a Eddie Murphy joke about like black people at Jaws, like, get out the water, you know. But, I mean, the problem is this was real, and there were people that I was, you know, that were saying they saw some, you know, people standing on a bridge, but then you could see the water coming up and the boats coming toward them, and people are, like, screaming, get off the bridge, get off the bridge, you know, because it just was this horrific, like, you couldn't do anything about it, and yet you're watching it and realizing that it's live, and it's, you know, just horrifying. All right. Let's see here. StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all at the website. By the way, we've had this discussion before. Do politicians only do the right thing when they're leaving office or say the right thing or be honest? But Joe Lieberman, did you see this, Jim? Joe Lieberman, he's obviously a proponent of nuclear energy. He called for a halt in building new nuclear power plants until the situation in Japan can be examined. He was on Face the Nation. He said the U.S. should put the brakes on right now until we understand the ramifications of what's happening in Japan.
We've understood
I think when
the ramifications for a long time.
When they're leaving office, they aren't going to have as much protection as they did when they were a voted-in official.
I guess. Mitch McLiplis, of course, still in office. He indicated no change in his thinking. He said we ought not to make American and domestic policy based on an event that happened in Japan.
That's right. Couldn't happen here. This is America. The worst that can happen is the radiation will burn your lips off. I speak from experience.
What? How stupid! But how stupid is that? It's like Chris, as you've been pointing out all morning, we have nuclear power plants here in California,
yeah,
and we're prone to, earthquakes.
Yeah, but they're American nuclear plants, so it's better.
And they're nuclear.
We
ought not to be making
radiation
policy on foreign countries, things that are happening in other countries.
And the one at San Onofre, between here and San Diego, that's built to withstand a 7.0 5 miles away. And you know, this earthquake was 8.9. So, yeah.
In the living room.
About 1,000 times greater.
Right, right. Yeah, but I mean, it just seems like the right wing's like, anything that is from another country should have no relevance here. And that's what this story was about, Edie, that we were saying. We're so wired. In Japan, of course, one of the most wired countries in the world. We're all experiencing all of this. We're all interconnected in a way that we weren't. And you better believe we should take a lesson from what just happened.
We should have taken a lesson from Three Mile Island.
Yeah.
And Chernobyl. I mean, again, Jimmy Carter had,
well, and it's not just natural disasters.
Solar cells on the roof of the White House, and Reagan took them off. I mean, we should have started phasing out nuclear power then.
Well, and it's not just natural disasters. I was saying that I lived in New York for 9/11, and I lived like within a couple of miles of Indian Point because
right.
I lived up in Westchester. And you think, if there's going to be another terrorist attack at some point, they're going to think, gee, what would be a good thing to attack? You know,
well, the thought was,
I mean, in that sense, they don't even have to get nukes. We have them. I mean,
right.
That's what I'm saying is how sadly ironic is Japan's doing this to itself right now if the cores are melting down. The only country that's actually had nuclear weapons dropped on it. You know, so that's what I mean. Yeah, we got to secure loose nukes, but I'm going, we have power plants.
And
I remember Indian Point, everyone was saying, you know, that doesn't seem like that's that well guarded.
No, not at all.
Exactly.
They have drawn drills every once in a while, and they tell them in advance when there's going to be, you know, they test the security, and they always fail. I mean, they do really poorly in this. And plus, it's easy to crash a plane into one of those. You wouldn't even need explosives to release radiation.
Yeah. Well, because I was right on a flight path. I lived in Croton-on-the-Hudson to Westchester Airport, and I thought, that's weird. It doesn't seem like there's any sort of limitations on who flies where. And Indian Point's right, you know, there.
Well, I was raised in Missouri, and we have many silos with the big bombs.
Corn?
Bombs.
Bombs. Oh, pardon me. Different silo.
And the New Madrid Fault, which is running all the way through Missouri.
Uh-huh. Great. Right. Good planning.
Terrific.
Yes, good idea.
Planning.
What could possibly go wrong?
Nicely done. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back with more Mondays with McClurg on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Let's get it going.
Mm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour. Oh, these time change weekends just make me crazy. 1-800, I need to call Randy Rhodes and find out what time it is.
Slowing of the rotation of the Earth.
Yes, exactly. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Julie in Seattle sends us the Boner. Oh, Boner, your timing sucks, dude. Mama, did you see Boner last Thursday trying to blame Obama for rising gas prices because he, quote, jeopardized new nuclear energy?
What?
Hard to find much humor in the five, count them five, freaking nuclear reactors in the process of melting down as we speak in Japan. But you have to marvel at the cosmic screw the planet Earth just threw into the latest GOP gimmick, the American Energy Initiative. Which includes a magnificently ill-timed and typically idiotic push to lift a moratorium on building new nuclear power plants. This heat right after they cut. What did they cut? Oh, that crazy, earthquake preparedness, tsunami warning funds, that kind of stuff that would never be necessary.
Yeah.
Then of course, the Obama administration has been pumping money into nuclear stuff as well.
Yeah, what is Should come to the out. Come to when the Joe Lieberman, you're like, oh, okay, he's expressing some caution. Perhaps we should pause for a moment on nuclear and while we examine the Oh, and Julie has also helpfully sent me a this is from a Godzilla movie. Steph, okay, Japan's had the massive earthquake, the unprecedented tsunami, the nuclear meltdown seem to be proceeding apace. Now a freaking volcano is going off in southern Japan. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Time to cue the movie monsters. That's Mothra, in case you're in your renowned movie ignorance you didn't recognize. I recognize Mothra next to Godzilla. There.
Sure.
P.S. Care to take a wager on how long someone in right-wing world says this is happening because they're not Christians? I'm guessing yes. Any word from Pat Robertson over there on the Christian Weather Network?
The lake of fire is catching up to the Japanese to punish them for their wickedness and their refusal to acknowledge Jesus as their Lord and Savior. All their little Shinto and Buddhist banging of gongs and whatnot, they are being punished, obviously. It's the only logical conclusion.
I was expecting Pat Robertson to blame the tsunami that hit Hawaii on the granting of civil
rights. The gays, enormously powerful.
Well, thank you for that. I hadn't thought of that, but you are quite right.
There you go.
Earth-shaking decision.
By the way, Hawaii
shall descend into a lake of fire.
By the way, Julie writes, P.S., the nice thing about being a bleeding heart liberal since the hippie days is you aren't surprised when nuclear power plants go to... I had to talk to my husband out of spending $900 on a Geiger counter last night. Ay vey.
Well, that might be worth having soon.
Judy in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jude.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was up in Wisconsin Saturday. And it was absolutely the most marvelous event. I mean, they say 100,000. I say there was like 300,000 up there.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of dogs with the Union Thug sign on them.
Yeah,
I've saw it little. One little kid had a
Union Pug.
Yeah.
I mean, I was there for the tractors. Oh, my God, that was so great when all the farmers went around the Capitol with their tractors.
Awesome.
And I had my picture taken with Mayor Dave, and Susan Sarandon spoke, and Jim Hightower. It was a real happy. I could tell. We came up from the Illinois 10th Stem to support, our Wisconsin brothers and sisters. And you could tell as soon as I got out of the car and started walking to the Capitol, the feeling. It was such a feeling of love and warmth. And it was so wonderful because they would chant, "What does democracy look like?"
That's
and
right.
We all yell back. This is what democracy looks like.
I saw a picture of a little kid with a sign that said "Hugs from a Thug." He was giving out the hugs.
It was the greatest thing. I was so glad I went up there. I was there from 11:15 till the end. It was just definitely worthwhile, and I hope they are successful in recalling all those.
Yeah,
jokes.
Absolutely, Judy. Thanks, honey, for that. Oh, by the way, the difference between people that have kids and don't. David Bender, Jim, I took on a hike. I called it a hike. He called it the Bataan Death March. Yeah, I guess he's not used to hiking. I didn't. I
just go up the hill.
Yes, but we had my giant dogs with me. And somebody else had two great white or two Pyrenees at the. A bunch of people sent me a picture. Somebody had two Great Pyrenees like mine at the Wisconsin rally this weekend. But anyway,
They're stealing
do you
your
know
act.
Where your dogs were?
They were with me and David Bender. Anyway, David and I were hiking, and these two little kids, you know, because they always go, ah, look at the dog, ah, polar bears or something, you know. And but we both, but together, thought we heard a little kid, because she was like six, and we swear to God, she said, wow, that's a big dog. And then David's like, oh, Fuzzy. I think she said Fuzzy. See, I'm not having kids. I would think it's okay, and I would say, "Why, yes, little girl, it is a big dog." Be thinking it's okay in their household, and then the mother would be like, "She said Fuzzy. What is wrong with you?" Just saying, if you're not used to kids, it's just your ears hear certain things. And she, David's like, "Did that little kid just say?" I'm like, I think so. Laura in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I love the show. This is my first time calling, and I know what dogs you're talking about because I was in Madison on Saturday.
Two Great Pyrenees, like Max and Fred. Yeah.
They were huge.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that a lot of the things that I saw in Madison on Saturday were in support of a general strike, which I do support. I just wanted to kind of temper that for the public support to go our way. I'm trying to work as a day without a corporation for union supporters, where we all try to kind of throw our money behind small businesses that don't make campaign contributions.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent you an email about it. So I was trying to get some momentum behind this for Friday, March 25th. Just have all the union supporters and non-union workers alike try to go out for coffee in a local restaurant, try to hire an LLC, local service provider, and remind people what it's like when the middle class has spending money. Because I know that people...
Yep, absolutely. All right, Laura, thank you, honey. Sorry. Out of time. Ian's Pizza probably at this point can buy Domino's. They've sold so much pizza during this. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
But I think she's crazy.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, we are proceeding apace with Mondays with McClurg, the delightful Edie McClurg, live in studio with us. And you can see her, can't you? On ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. Look at you, smiley face.
I'm without my glasses today. I have contact.
Yes, I know. You gussied up for the big Ustream camera.
I did, and I have a new stain on my mouth.
Oh, you know, by the way, we oftentimes do Edie McClurg, Sarah Palin, Masterpiece Theater, where she just reads verbatim a Sarah Palin thing. I think we may have to have you read Michelle Bachman now. Did you hear her latest? She put, let's see, do we have the Michelle Bachman again? She misplaced a couple of American cities.
Good
along with
her.
Plymouth Rock.
What I love about New Hampshire and what we have in common is our extreme love for liberty. You're the state where the shot was heard around the world at Lexington and Concord.
Lexington and Concord.
No.
Lexington and Concord.
No, and then the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, which apparently also now is in New Hampshire.
Oh.
Well, Teresa,
all those little ones up at the top there.
Teresa writes, Steph, is Michelle Bachman channeling her inner Bluto? This reminds me of that Animal House clip you run where Bluto says it was the Germans who bombed Pearl Harbor.
Over?
Yes.
Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
Hey! Who's with Bachman for president? Who? Yay! Oh, boy. All right. Representative Peter King, of course, held his Prove to Us You're Not a Muslim Terrorist hearings last
week. And now you have people like Kerr and others who are saying because of political correctness, I should be including everyone in these hearings when the main threat comes from Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda is recruiting within the Muslim community. If they were recruiting within the Irish community, I'd say, look at that. But the reality is these terrorists are coming from the Muslim community. It's a small, small percentage, but that's where they're coming from.
Yeah, Jim, if there were Irish terrorists, he certainly would stand up against that.
Sure, sure he would. Like he used to when he was funding the IRA.
Mm-hmm. By the way, did you see Keith Ellison, our buddy, the congressman from Minnesota, his testimony where he just wept openly over this, you know, the Muslim kid that was killed in 9/11 and was and then smeared, you know, before he was then cleared. He, his emotional testimony before the House Homeland Security Committee on Muslim radicalization, he recounted the tale. It was a 9/11 first responder, actually, who died in the attack. Some conservatives suggest Ellison was putting on a show, and even that there were not false rumors about the 9/11 first responder. This is what they do. They just lie. This is a well-documented story that he was unfairly smeared in the hysteria right after 9/11. I love this. Jihad Watch, Jim, do you look at the blog
Watch.
Jihad Watch?
Sure, all the time.
They wrote, Ellison's crocodile tears are in service of a deception.
God.
Ellison was drawing sympathy from the same liberals and pundits who taunted the Speaker of the House for his tears. Yeah, because he cries at everything, and he cries about himself.
Uh-huh. Something substantive and actually tragic.
Yes.
Not, I had to work at a tavern.
They wrote, yes, Muslim Ellison shed big tears for a Muslim who died on 9/11, but not for the almost 3,000 infidels who died on that day.
Wow.
Website Weasel Zippers.
What?
That's got to be a good one. Issued a vomit alert over Ellison's testimony. So the National Review writes the story. There's little evidence of the rumors of which Ellison speaks. Sean
what?
Hannity picks up the National Review story, which sends Fox Nation links with the headline, Ellison's emotional story stretches the truth, which is in itself a big fat lie. It turns out there were multiple reports in newspapers and on television supporting the fact that there were rumors about Hamdani is the name of the gentleman that died. In a September 21st, 2001 interview with CBS, his mother said they were having trouble coping with it because they can't go outside without having people give us looks and have this feeling that, hey, you're to blame for this. It's like we're being targeted for something we didn't even do. A New York Post story, 2001. This would seem easily Googleable, wouldn't it, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
Title, Missing or Hiding, Mystery of NYPD Cadet from Pakistan. New York Daily News, in 2002, April 6, said the story of a Pakistani-born Muslim man living in Queens who was unexpectedly missing after the September 11th quickly took on sinister implications. The New York Times, March 9, 2003, ugly rumors circulated. He was a Muslim and worked in a lab. He might have been connected to a terrorist group. Months later, the truth came out, which is exactly the story that Keith Ellison told.
Mm-hmm.
And why it was so heartbreaking. And it's just, so the right wing has to lie even about that while mocking Keith Ellison's emotion over that. All right, here's happy news. Representative Gabrielle Giffords is likely to take a break from her rehabilitation to see her astronaut husband, Mark Kelly, personally during the launching of the shuttle launch.
Oh, my.
Which Jim, will be the last one.
I was just going to say, am I hanging around you too much, or did I right away start to get nervous and think,
yeah,
oh, please, God, let nothing happen?
That's the first thing I thought.
I know. Now you think, oh, God.
We lost two of them.
Yeah. God forbid. But anyway, that was... All right. Hey, looky here from our friends at Crooks and Liars. While you've been watching Wisconsin, Edie, look over there, Michigan.
What's
he may be
on?
Even worse than the wanker.
Oh.
One of the problems with everything going haywire at once is that, that's the thing, Jim. There's so many awful things Republicans are doing in so many places. It's really hard to keep track.
We need a big map with little pins.
There we go.
Yes. That'll be your job.
Little pinheads.
All right. Michigan could actually be facing worse, more draconian measures intended not only to break unions, but the public schools, municipal governments, and much, much more.
Right.
The Michigan Martial Law Act of 2011 is fast-tracking right onto Governor Rick Snyder's desk, just in time to take center stage after the fact. Despite large protests in Lansing, it's getting very little press because of Wisconsin. According to the law, which has already been approved in the House, the governor will be able to declare financial emergency in towns or school districts and appoint someone to fire local elected officials, break contracts, seize and sell assets, and eliminate services. This is reminiscent of what Walker's done. Under the law, whole cities or school districts could be eliminated without any public participation or oversight. The coordinated efforts across these many states, Crooks and Liars saying, makes me wonder if they're violating RICO statutes. If there's ever an example of racketeering, it's what the U.S. Chamber, Coke Industries, the Republican Governors Association, and corporate interests are doing in these states. I mean, it's hard to keep track, Edie, for God's sakes. Out here in California, did you see this? I don't know what insurance you have, but here at the Stephanie Miller Show, we have Blue Shield, Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Yes, I do too.
Maybe not for much longer, Chris. Be safe.
What?
Oh, no. What?
Oh, God.
No.
Be careful. Don't get hurt. Don't get sick.
Okay. Right away, Ms. Miller.
Blue Shield's cumulative rate hikes could reach 86.5%.
Great.
How about that? If the third plan premium increase in recent months is allowed to take effect May 1st, Blue Shield says 45,500 customers will face hikes of 50% or more. 900 will see their bills rise 80% or more.
Thank God we don't have that socialized medicine like they do in Europe land.
As high as 86.5% for thousands of individual policyholders, rates could go up. They already increased rates in October and January.
And if you have a pre-existing condition, you're SOL.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it really is unbelievable. And this, when you think about it, that's how this whole Tea Party started. It's trying to protect the big insurance companies.
Uh-huh.
That's how Dick Armey and his friends, the Army of Dick, you know, that started the Tea Party. That they got normal people to go, oh, yes, you need to stand up for those insurance companies.
Right. Against Obamacare with its death panels.
Exactly.
It's, the opposite. It's the insurance companies that form their death panels that deny people coverage, and that's how they make a profit.
Yeah. Gabrielle in Missouri on the resignation of P.J. Crowley. Hello, Gabrielle.
Hi there. Yeah, I just wanted to do a shout-out thank you to P.J. Crowley for standing up to the inhumane treatment of Bradley Manning.
He called his treatment ridiculous and stupid, and then, of course, Robert Gates reportedly went berserk. The difference is, they don't obviously like the State Department criticizing the Defense Department and vice versa.
Is he the one who's having to stand naked?
The WikiLeaks guy, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and it was a moral statement, it shouldn't have been called for that he was to be resigned for something that's morally, we all know that he's being treated so badly, and I just want to say thank you to him, so that was great.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
Bad news for all whistleblowers, if that's how they treat Bradley Manning. And we need whistleblowers so we know what's really going on and what we're paying for with our tax dollars.
Or, as you said, then we're the Soviet Union at some point.
Yeah.
Hey, you know who we love? Stephen King.
Yeah.
See, scary music because he's...
I love him.
Scary. Well, I love him. Why? Because he owns a radio station which carries...
Stephanie Miller.
Hey. Yes. Yay!
All right.
Why, what a Jim Dandy idea, Chris, if more fine Americans would put their money where their mouth is and invest in progressive infrastructure. Why, looky there. Stephen King, who owns property in Maine and Florida, took aim at the Republican governors of both states during a speech in a rally in support of education unions and veterans in Sarasota, Florida. King called Maine Governor Paul LePage a stone brain. He also compared LePage, Florida Governor Rick Scott, and Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker to the Three Stooges.
Demonic clowns.
Yes. You gotta love people that give back. He said, as a rich person, I pay 28% tax. What I want to ask you is, why am I not paying 50%?
Yeah.
He joins, Warren Buffett and others and saying, I want to pay my fair share.
He's a traitor to his class. He must be stopped.
King said he and his wife try to make up the difference between what they pay in taxes and the 50% they feel is appropriate by making charitable donations to support libraries, schools, fire departments, veterans, and...
Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
What a bunch of commies.
Thank you.
I knew I loved him, but I love him even
we
more.
We love him even more. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and more as we finish up Mondays with McClurg on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's kind of hot.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
We'll shake it up, baby, now.
Shake it up, baby.
Twist and shout.
Twist and shout.
Come on, baby, now.
Come on, baby.
Come on and work it on out. Work it on out.
Tell me you didn't play this because of the earthquake. This is just a coincidence, right?
Right.
Okay. All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, David Bender, who is at my house in my house dress and fluffy slippers.
Braggart.
He has nothing to do. Stop listening to the radio. Get my lunch ready. He has given me the fun facts once again about the Richter scale. Goes up by a factor of 10 for every point. In terms of explosive factor, Hiroshima was 0.2 megatons. Japan quake was 474 megatons.
Wow.
Yeah, so anyway. David Benners, he's a very good with the Google and the interwebs. All right. I'm exhausted. I've been being a good little woman all weekend with him. Bringing him, waiting on him, hand and foot, cooking for him.
And you're used to
coffee,
just
wine.
Sloshing back in your...
Oh, it's exhausting being married. All right, it's only been a day. All right. By the way, Edie McClurg, thank you for taking your hat off because someone was thinking of the children. Apparently they give you that after you finish your run in vagina monologues.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, in a completely unrelated story in the celebrity stack, Elton John calls female photographer the C-word in public.
Ooh.
Oh, dear. He is a member of the paparazzi, apparently. According to TMZ, Elton John snapped when he saw a woman attempting to photograph him as he exited the store. He bellowed, off, you horrible... Oh. The woman had no reply. I'm not sure I would have any reply either if
well,
called the C-word by Elton John.
He did look particularly dumpy that day.
Oh, is that one? Yes.
And he
was
just out shopping for a little something, and he didn't want to be seen.
Apparently.
And everybody has a camera now in their hand with their little phones.
Well, listen, I'm sure David Bender would get dressed if he were going to go outside and be photographed by a paparazzi. He's not going to wear his house dress outside.
No, but
I he's Elton John. He should know to be presentable.
He was wearing mismatched sweat outfit.
Oh, all right. Good God.
Wow, here's a... I got to tell you, this is a shocking story. There was an arrest at Charlie Sheen's house this weekend, and it wasn't Charlie Sheen.
What?
What? What are the... Bye?
Oil?
Yeah.
Thank you both for those spit takes, yes. Yes, Charlie Sheen kept relatively quiet after a man was arrested at his California house. The man in Curling and Van Nuys jail was taken in by police for trespassing. Charlie said he couldn't comment on what happened at his home, but he did say the police were awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, they had tiger blood in their...
Such a vocabulary.
Duh. Winning. Okay. John Stamos says he does not want Charlie Sheen's Two and a Half Men role, probably because he doesn't want to end up, you know, as D-listed says, with machete marks in his front lawn. He said it is not part of his career plan right now.
Ah. When would that be a part of the career plan?
You know who could take over? Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson is...
Fast and loose.
Yes. Now, this was two celebrity scandals ago. He was sentenced to 3 years probation in order to undergo a year of counseling after pleading no contest to a charge of a misdemeanor battery. Against his,
That would be hilarious if they put him on Two and a Half Men, you know.
Just saying. Oh, Shano has sent us a Charlie Sheen montage.
Oh.
Oh, it's been so long since we've heard.
Are you suffering from superstardom and have untold riches? Still feeling depressed even though you've tried every drug in mass quantities, including the illegal ones? Well, you could be suffering from a recently discovered affliction called OCD, Obsessive Consumption Disorder. And if you are... Ask your dealer about a new drug available from Gordon Gekko Pharmaceuticals called Sheen. Sheen is a complex synthesis of tiger blood extracts and the essence of Adonis DNA. If your old drug cocktail doesn't give you the buzz it once did, Sheen can give you a high that feels like simultaneous facial liquidity and spontaneous combustion.
Side effects may include megalomania, goddess STD, also known as Roman clap, serial talk radio show dialing, anti-Semitic Tourette's, often referred to as Gibson syndrome, codependency on Heidi Fleiss, spontaneous machete wielding, douchebaggery, losing, face melting, spontaneous combustion. In a clinical trial, side effects have been shown to be similar to Tiagra and often more severe.
So if you want to feel like a winner,
winning,
even when you're losing it all, try Sheen. That's Gecko's Sheen for when booze, pot, coke, crack, H, Special K, benzos, X, and hallucinogens just aren't enough.
Did she even take custody of my entire box this weekend?
I think so.
That's every sound effect I use, for God's sakes. I was drinking, as you know. I don't recall my box going being missing. Apparently it was. Thank you, Shango. That was very funny. Oh, boy. Hey, someone with worse celebrity neighbors than I have.
What?
Well, as you know, I live next to a boy band with a screaming dog. It's a whole thing. It's whole story. Quentin Tarantino is suing his neighbors over their parrot's blood-curdling screams. The Pulp Fiction director has said... taken action against fellow writer Alan Ball, complaining his pet macaws stop him from being able to work. He writes, on a daily basis, defendants' macaws, large tropical birds known for their loud squawks and screams, are placed in an outdoor aviary where they emit blood-curdling screams at random intervals for 7 to 8 hours.
Oh, man. Wow.
What, how much you want to bet Alan Ball's going to move next to me? And the screaming dog, and the gay neighbors with the chair, and the, yeah. Mr. Tarantino and others in his homes are subjected to the macaw's obnoxious pterodactyl-like screams, which have seriously disrupted Mr. Tarantino's ability to work as a writer in his home. Oh, that is... That is. Okay.
Oh. The problems of the rich.
Yeah, macaws? Are you kidding me? See, and I thought this was a Lindsay Lohan story, but it's not. Woman goes to court with a tiny monkey in her bra. I thought that would be her latest ruse.
Touch my monkey.
In Amherst, Virginia, a woman turned a few heads when she walked into a rural Virginia courthouse with a tiny monkey clad in a pink and white dress tucked in her bra. You don't see that every day.
Not today.
Wow.
That could distract a judge. The woman brought the palm-sized marmoset to the courthouse. The woman says the marmoset is 7 weeks old and requires constant attention.
Aw.
Perhaps breastfeeding. I don't know what it's doing in her bra, but that's a little weird. Aye. She also says that she has its clothes specially made in West Virginia. Just in case you wonder.
West Virginia?
Where might I get clothes?
Tiny monkey clothes.
Where might I get clothes for my tiny marmoset?
Coal mining and tiny clothes.
That resides in my bra. I know. West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Maybe it's one of those companion animals, you know, that you get a license for.
Chris, we need to investigate this. I must know who specializes in making tiny marmoset clothes in West Virginia. And how did you even find this?
Does a marmoset even look like a monkey?
Apparently.
I think a marmoset is more of a... No.
I don't know.
An ugly thing.
That is a niche, whoever makes just marmoset clothes. Like, especially tiny monkey clothes. Like, oh, no, we don't make regular monkey-sized clothes here.
That's a marmoset.
Yeah. This is exclusively a marmoset clothing place. What? All right. I love this story. Fun stack before we go. Oregon police say both an intruder and a Portland homeowner phoned 911 to report the same thing, a strange man in a home. The intruder told police he had just broken into a home when the owner arrived, and the caller was worried that the homeowner might have a gun. Accompanied by two German shepherds, the homeowner found the intruder, I believe he was taking a shower, and asked what he was doing in the house. That's when the stranger locked himself in the bathroom and phoned police. And said, there's a guy breaking into his own house. Could you come... Yeah. All right. All right. Edie McClurg, you have been delightful as always. Tomorrow, Christine Romans joins us, Charlie Pierce, and George DeGay.
Oh, George.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
I mean, he can talk to us about, what was the word in that story? Oh, douchebaggery.
Yeah.
Don't be a douchebag.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.
My watch is wrong.